Jai Radama Bhava.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on the topic Bhagavad Gita, the Book of Knowledge, recorded on 26th of June 2007 in Atlanta.
Gopi jana bala bhai vala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
So I was told that a lot of friends and newcomers are coming to the program today. In other words, I understand that most of you have very little exposure to what we are trying to present, am I right? America is a world leader in technology, but it appears that this thing is happening. So we're very happy to be here. I've been coming to Atlanta regularly for the past few years, once a year, and we travel around the world. And basically, what we are presenting is the message of the, which book is this?
Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita. Is everyone here heard of the Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
So the Bhagavad Gita is a oldest book of knowledge on this planet. Would you believe that? It's older than the Bible, older than the Quran, it's the oldest literature on this planet. And the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. For whose benefit? For whose benefit was the Gita spoken? For the benefit of the entire humanity. Now, in essence, the Bhagavad Gita's philosophy is designed to make us happy. Do all of you want to be happy?
Yes.
Well, the children are saying. Can I ask this question to the adults only?
Yes.
Does anyone want to be happy?
Yes.
Now, thousands of years ago, there was a great sage called Prahlad Maharaj. He said, Narate vidum svadha gatim hi Vishnu. He said, people do not know how real happiness can be found. Now, you can have happiness strictly by executing ritual activities, or you can have happiness based on spiritual activities. Sometimes, people are very scared about spiritual activity. They think that if I take interest in spirituality, then I will become an outcast in society, in the sense that I won't be able to do my job, business, etc. But this is totally wrong concept. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, induced Arjuna to take part in the battle, but Krishna told him, you should take part in the battle for my pleasure. In other words, for the pleasure of Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita, in essence, preaches action, but action in the spirit of detachment. What is the Bhagavad Gita explaining? In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us information about our real self. For example, when you want to go to some other country, what do they first examine? Your identity, isn't it? And how do they examine your identity? By seeing what? Your passport. In many countries like Russia, you have to carry a passport with you all the time, and any time the police can stop you and ask you for your passport. And if you don't have your passport, you can also be arrested. The point is that we need to know our original spiritual identity. So Bhagavad Gita explains what is our real identity by explaining in the body there's a soul. And the nature of that soul is, it doesn't take birth, it doesn't die. It is just transmigrating from one body to another body. Now, everyone's body has a soul. Even the animals have the soul. And what is the measurement of the soul? The measurement of the soul is 1/10,000 of the tip of your head. And the Vedas are so precise that they can give us this information. And what is the nature of the soul? Doesn't take birth, doesn't die, just moves on from one body to another body. Now, this question of the difference between the soul and the body and the eternal nature of the soul is very important for spiritual life. And even in the Bible it is said, what shall I do if thou gainest the whole world but suffer the loss of your eternal soul? You may gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, then what have you gained? You have gained nothing. So the point we are leading to is, just like when you want to learn how to read and write, what is the first thing you learn? A, B, C, D, isn't it? So similarly, we need to know who we are. And unless you know who you are, you can't really know your true identity. Our spiritual master used to give an example that once there was a very learned man, Indian, who had gone to America to Harvard to study. Then he came back to India. He was traveling in a boat, and the boatman asked him, though he was traveling in a boat, he was very educated, PhD, and the boatman was uneducated. But the boatman had one qualification. He was a devotee of Lord Shri Krishna. And he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. He knew the purpose of human life. So, the scholar from America asked the boatman, what is this you are doing? He was a westernized Indian. You know, some of these westernized Indians know nothing about their culture. So the boatman said, I'm chanting the name of God, Hare Krishna. So a little later the scholar said, do you know American English? He said, I don't even know Indian English, forget about it. I'm uneducated. So he said, you have wasted 25% of your life. And then later he asked him if he knew something about computers. And the boatman said, no, I know nothing about computers too. So he said, you wasted half your life, 50%. And a little later, he asked him about astronomy, if he knew something about astronomy. And the boatman replied, no, he knew nothing. So the scholar in a very boastful mood said, you have wasted 75% of your life. And as they were sailing, it became windy. Can you predict when the temperature will change? No one can predict. It became very windy. And because it became windy, the boat began to. And then the boatman, the scholar, got nervous. He said, what's happening? The boat is, it looks very windy. The boat is shaking. So the boatman said, sir, I hope in America you learn how to swim. It appears we are going to get drowned and you may have to due to bad weather. And the scholar said, I learned everything except swimming. So the boatman said, so now 100% of your life is wasted. So the point is, everything we learn gets tested at death. And human life is temporary. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, in chapters 3 and 5, where the subject matter is Karma Yoga, Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that we should act for the pleasure of the Lord. We all have to do some action. You cannot live without action. Am I right? We have to do some activity. So this activity should be done according to the direction of a bona fide spiritual teacher. Krishna doesn't say don't work. Krishna says work in such a way that you get purified. Today you're living in America, which is considered to be, at least on paper, the richest country in the world. Even though the richest maybe by borrowing money, but still, it's on paper considered the richest country in the world. You have all modern amenities, first-class living facilities, but do all these amenities give you peace of mind? They don't give you peace of mind. Many years ago, there was a survey done in America, and people were asked a question, what is it that you want in life that money cannot buy? And the number one answer was, peace of mind. Can money buy you peace of mind? No. So, why is it that we don't have this peace of mind? These days, as you can see, there are also more natural calamities than ever before. Just like right now, America is experiencing a severe drought, isn't it? More than half the country is in drought. And even in Atlanta, they issued guidelines when you can water your plants and when you can't water. Even in California, even over there, is the same situation. Now, why is all this happening? All of you belong to an educated generation. So you may want to know, why is it there's a water shortage? Why is it that there's severe drought? Why do you have to pay more for vegetables in the market? You all go shopping in the market? Are you paying more for vegetables now than before? Much more. Why are you paying more? Because they're in short supply. Why are they in short supply? No rain. Why there's no rain? No sacrifice, no yajna. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, food beings come by rainfall. Rainfall means to perform religious duties. When we don't perform yajna, when we don't perform religious duties, then what happens? There's no rainfall also. So, again, these days everyone is very concerned about global warming and global climatic changes. Everyone's very concerned about the rising temperature, isn't it? Everyone is very concerned how many of the cities and the banks on the side of the rivers are going to get destroyed in the next 40 years. So, why is all this happening? Because we have put so much burden on Mother Earth. We have been living, thinking that we're going to go on expanding our material needs. But actually, when you expand your material needs, the material nature is unable to tolerate the burden. So, Bhagavad Gita is a dialogue spoken between Krishna and his friend Arjuna. Arjuna is an eternal companion of the Supreme Lord. And Krishna first spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivaswan, but then subsequently he also gave this knowledge to Arjuna, essentially because of one qualification, he was his friend and devotee. Sometimes some of us think this Bhagavad Gita is just theoretical knowledge. It cannot be applied in practice. But that is wrong. For example, this Bhagavad Gita, we have distributed 25 million copies in the last 30 years. How many? 24, over 25 million. This Bhagavad Gita has been translated in more than 100 languages of the world. Why are people reading it? Because this Bhagavad Gita has a solution to all our problems. I just gave you the solution to drought. They are experiencing drought. They want rainfall. So Krishna gives you how you can get rainfall. He says you can get rainfall by performing yajna. In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this knowledge is the king of education. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Vidya means knowledge. Raja means supreme. So Krishna says, this is the king of knowledge. Now, you may say, how can Krishna say this knowledge is the king of education? Krishna can say this is the king of education because this knowledge is very complete. In the material world, whatever knowledge you get is subject to 4 types of mistakes. What are the 4 mistakes inherent in everyone? One is, we have a tendency to cheat, am I right? I've had doctors tell me many times they can't even understand what the disease is. But they just have to act as if they know what the disease is. We don't have the answer to the problem, but we bluff an answer. So we have a tendency to cheat. Then we all make mistakes. Even if you're a Nobel laureate, you make mistakes. Then we get illusion. And our senses are imperfect. Our senses are so imperfect that if we were to turn on the light, or if it was dark, you even won't be able to see your neighbor. You can't even see your eyebrows. So the point you're making is that our senses are imperfect. And if we want to see God or try to understand God, then we have to take the process that is recommended by the Lord, which is the process of Bhakti Yoga. What is Bhakti Yoga? What is Bhakti? Bhakti means devotion. Now, one of the main aspects of our philosophy, one, of course, is, as you know, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, some of you may say, but I thought all gods are one. So what difference does it make who I worship? They're all one, isn't it? Don't all roads lead to Rome? But do all roads lead to Rome? No. Do all the flights that leave Atlanta Airport? You have the biggest airport in the world. The busiest airport. Do all the flights from Atlanta Airport go to Rome? They go to different destinations. So the point is, what do the scriptures say? Scriptures say, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Anadi Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. It says there are many controllers, but there is one supreme controller, and that is Krishna. Many times when we are preaching in the Western countries, people come up and say, Jesus Christ is the way. We have no objection. Please worship Jesus Christ. We don't dispute that. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in the Bible? He said, I'm Son of God. He said, I'm Son of God. He never said He's the Supreme God. Whereas, in the Vedas, it is clearly established, Krishna is the Supreme. So, it is said, just like when you water the leaves and branches of a tree, when you water the root of the tree, the branches also get nourished. When you are hungry, all the parts of your body become weak. But if you put the food just in one place, what is that one place? Stomach. And you feel completely satisfied. So it is also explained that if you worship Krishna, then automatically all the demigods, Shiva, Brahma, everybody is also pleased. So the Bhagavad Gita, in every page of Bhagavad Gita it is written Sri Bhagavan Vacha, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking. Then we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So sometimes people may say, and sometimes people do say, but there are so many mantras. Why can't we chant any mantra we like? What is a mantra first of all? Mantra is a chant that can give you peace of mind. These days, you must have heard of the word meditation, yoga. These are becoming very fashionable now. Meditation. So this chanting Hare Krishna is the best way of meditation. So why do we specifically chant Hare Krishna mantra? Today, ISKCON Society has over 500 centers around the world. In addition, Srila Prabhupada translated nearly 100 books in English language. These books have been translated in almost every major language of the world. And all over the world, people are reading these books. Why? They're reading these books because these books offer a practical alternative to life, a practical alternative to the miserable condition in which we are. And reading the philosophy and chanting enables one to truly understand its constitutional position. So we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because this is the recommendation in the scriptures. It is said, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Naseva, 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 Vakati Amitha. Further it is said, that in Kali Yuga there is nothing but an ocean of vice, but there is one benediction in this age. That is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on the planet 500 years ago and he had made a prediction. What was that prediction? Prithiviti Achajata Nagaradigam Sarvata Prachara Oibimurana. He said, in every town and village of the world, the holy name will be sung. Today you can go to any corner of the world, you'll find a Hare Krishna temple. Today, you can go to any part of the world, you will meet people reading Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because this is knowledge that satisfies our search for answers to various problems of life. So, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, this is described as the Maha Mantra, the principal chant for deliverance. And this is as natural as a mother cries for the father. As a child cries for the mother or the father. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya has spoken on this with regards to these verses. He says that just like when you pour water on the tree, all the branches get nourished. When you chant Hare Krishna, you are also pleasing all the demigods, etc. But chanting Hare Krishna, we are pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this chanting of Hare Krishna that we do is not something concoction, but it is the authorized process of self-realization in the sage. So chanting Hare Krishna can be done in any situation. Lord Chaitanya says, my dear Lord, you are so kind. You have invested all your transcendental energies in the holy name. Sometimes people wonder, how can you chant the same name again and again? They say, you guys are brainwashing. We say, we're not brainwashing. We are presenting the real truth. And they can chant the holy name again and again. Because the holy name is injected with full spiritual potency. The Lord has invested all his potencies in the holy name. So the holy name is non-different from the Lord. And it is said in the Shastras that the holy name can be chanted any time. And this chanting of the holy name will result in Ananda Bhuti Vardhana. It will result in unending spiritual happiness. So therefore we say chant the holy name. This is the recommendation in the scripture. Then what else? We also focus on The Vedic texts, especially the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedic texts are very wide. Even if we were to read every day of our life, by the end of this life, we would end up reading only a small portion. So Krishna is so kind, he's given us the essence of the Vedas in this book, Bhagavad Gita. So, read it. Because Bhagavad Gita is very enlightened dialogue, which has been spoken for the benefit of entire humanity. So, this chanting of holy name can be done by anyone, anywhere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are several benefits in chanting the holy name. One benefit in chanting the holy name is it eliminates the influence of kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. Another advantage of the holy name is it gives you unending spiritual happiness. Another advantage is that it frees you from the cycle of birth and death. So this chanting of holy name is absolutely must if you want to make spiritual advancement. This chanting of the holy name is descending from where? Where is the holy name coming from? From the spiritual world. This chanting has come from the spiritual world. So there's no difference between this chanting and there's no difference between chanting and the Lord's holy name. So this chanting should be done by everyone. Lord Chaitanya said, there's no hard and fast rule for chanting the holy name. So we beg everyone to also chant. Then another thing that's recommended is spiritual association. A man is known by the company he keeps, isn't it? So we are in the right association. If you are in the association of sincere devotees who are trying to make spiritual advancement, then you will also be inspired to stay on the spiritual path. But very often, because we are living in the material world, working outside, we tend to get bewildered. As I was saying in the lecture, Prabhupada introduced the Sunday program so that those of us who have jobs, businesses, can come to the temple and glorify the Lord. At the same time now, ISKCON is doing Namahat and Bhakti Vriksha groups all over the world. How many of you take part in a Namahat program every week? And how many of you take part in the Bhakti Vriksha program every week? These are programs that we carry out in people's homes. We study the scriptures, chant, discuss the philosophy point by point. Because scriptures are the words of God. And we should study these scriptures if we want to get to know what's best for us. The Lord is so kind, He has left behind the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita for guidance. The Lord is so kind, He comes again and again in different forms. The Lord is so kind, He has left the scriptures for us. So we should take advantage of this ammunition to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point is, you can stay where you are and practice Krishna consciousness. Krishna doesn't say you have to give up a job or business or professional approach to life. No. You can. Keep doing that. But make your life God-centered. Human life is obtained after a long evolutionary cycle. In ordinary life, when you get something with difficulty, do you relish it or no? Do you cherish it? Suppose you have a rare diamond. Then, will you take care of it carefully or just let it lie in your house like a newspaper does? When you do walk, you see several in front of most houses, there's a newspaper waiting there. Wall Street Journal, Atlanta Gazette, whatever. Nobody touches them. But you don't see any diamonds outside. So the point is, when something is valuable, we keep it carefully, isn't it? So this human life is obtained after a long struggle. And this human life should be used for a happy ending. Krishna consciousness teaches you the art of living and the art of dying. We need to learn both. And Krishna's philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita is very practical. It can be practiced by anyone in any condition. So basically, Krishna is inviting us to surrender to Him, take shelter of Him, Krishna is giving this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita for our benefit. And our request is, try this chanting and reading of the Bhagavad Gita. You may chant 2, 3, 4 rounds, doesn't matter. But at least chant regularly and associate regularly. A man is known by the company he keeps. Our association influences our lifestyle. So this Krishna conscious movement is designed to make people happy, but the process of happiness is to chant the holy names of the Lord, associate with devotees, worship the deities. The Lord is so kind, He just sends in His answer we go for, and thereby gives us all an opportunity to engage in service. So, Bhagavad Gita is not mythology. Mythology means maybe, may not be imagination. Bhagavad Gita is a realistic dialogue, and Bhagavad Gita has been spoken for whose benefit? For the benefit of entire humanity. So read the Bhagavad Gita. As I told you, this Bhagavad Gita has been translated in nearly 100 languages of the world. And people are reading it. Why? Because this has an answer to all of our questions. So, all our actions have been witnessed by several personalities. The demigods, the rain god, sun god, etc. Vayu, the god of air. And based on our actions, the next life will decide. There's no guarantee the next life is human. There's no guarantee the next life will go back to Godhead. The only guarantee for this is to be engaged in devotional service all the time. Because Krishna says, Arjuna, you declare to the world, my devotee will never. So Krishna was also engaged in service. But the ultimate freedom is in whose hands? Our hands. If you want real happiness, then take shelter of this process of Krishna consciousness. The pleasure of the Lord doesn't mean that you have to abandon your family or profession or duty. Acting for the pleasure of the Lord means you do what the Lord wants you to do. What does the Lord want you to do? Chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, eat Krishna Prasad, and serve the Lord to the extent you can. That's all. Is that difficult? It's so easy. We need to serve someone or the other. So we have to serve. Why not serve the Supreme Lord? Sometimes people think if I chant, my stocks will go up, my mutual fund returns will go up, and I may become the CEO of my company. But this chanting is beneficial in all situations. But we don't chant just to get some material benefit. Now that may be a hidden motive. The Lord has invested all His energies in the holy name. And by chanting, we are praying to the Lord, please engage me in devotional service. By chanting, the heart becomes cleansed of material desires. By chanting, you experience unending spiritual happiness. By chanting, you become free from the cycle of birth and death. Do you know how much misery there is in life today? Have you ever been to a hospital? Any doctors here in this audience? No. So have you ever been to a hospital? Go and see how much misery there is. We have a lot of devotee doctors in Washington. And they tell me such complicated cases that are coming up medically. Children today are being born with diseases that adults used to get before. Children today are getting heart transplants and so on. It's a degraded age. So the point is that we should examine and see how we can achieve the goal of life. And this is Krishna consciousness presents a very simple path of self-realization. In different ages, there is a different process of sacrifice. Just like if you go to a drugstore, it's not only close your eyes and just lift any medicine. Every disease has a different medicine, isn't it? So every age has a different process of self-realization. So in this age, the process is to chant the holy name. Just for your benefit, in Satya Yoga, the process was to meditate on the Lord. And people could meditate up to 60,000 years. In Satya Yoga, the process was very elaborate worship in the temple, a very elaborate yajna. So people would have genuine brahmanas. These brahmanas were so powerful that by chanting mantras, the fire would get lit. They never had to use a matchbox or a cigarette lighter. And you had pure ingredients. Then came Dwarpa Yoga. In Dwarpa Yoga, the process was very elaborate worship of the Lord in the temple. So if you wanted to go to the temple, you would have to go there with a lot of gold, silver, or some rich offering. And it is said, in Kali Yuga, what is the process? Just to chant the holy name. And you can see today, all over the world, people are chanting the holy name. And Africa, South America, Russia, and people are perfecting their lives. So please take advantage of this process. How can spiritual life be beneficial to family members? Spiritual life is beneficial to everyone. Just like fire. Even if a child places his hand in the fire, their hand will get burnt, isn't it? So, the holy name is so powerful. Knowingly, unknowingly, anybody who chants, he gets benefit. And the family members, if they eat Krishna prasad, they chant the holy names, they get purified, and this gives them peace of mind. One question that you may want to ask, I do a job, business, how can I practice Krishna consciousness? You're a sannyasi, you're unemployed, so you have time, but I'm a worldly man, how do I take care of my duties? It's not difficult. We today have over 100,000 businessmen like you who do 16 rounds japa and then engage in business, etc. So it's not difficult. You can be a man of the world. But what we are teaching is a path of purification. This chanting is a sure process of success. We're not saying you don't have to work or do a job. You can do whatever you're doing, but just work to purify your consciousness. Generally, when you're very handsome, very rich, successful materially, you don't need to think about God. You think you have everything. What do you need God for? But that's a curse. Wealth becomes a curse if it takes you away from God. And wealth becomes an asset if it is used in service of God. So, the material mind is always trying to pull us away from spirituality. But we need to chant. And sometimes you may say, oh, I don't feel like chanting. Even if you feel like force yourself to chant. When you know that something is beneficial, don't you force yourself? The child doesn't want to take the medicine. So what do you say? Okay, don't take medicine. No. You force him to take medicine, isn't it? The mind says, I don't want to go to work. It's a nice day. I want to go on the beach. But then your judges say, no, I have to go to work otherwise I'll get fired. So there's so many things we do in life that are contrary to what the mind is thinking. But we do it because they're beneficial. Similarly, we should do what is beneficial for spiritual life and avoid what is detrimental. And chanting is beneficial to everyone. This chanting is so powerful. If you chant Hare Krishna on the road, even the trees and the plants benefit when they hear the names of Krishna. Doesn't matter if you're not able to concentrate. It is said that Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. In Kali Yoga, the Lord incarnates in His holy name. So when you chant and hear, the Lord is actually present over there. And if you go on chanting, gradually your mind will become steady. So ignore the mind when the mind is poor, it's trying to be turbulent. Hare Krishna.